Let's just get ready to hear what the Lord has to say here. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be clean, or be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Father, as we approach this passage, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and the things that are said this morning, the word that is revealed to us, Father, that, Lord, in many ways we were just like this leper. And maybe there's some people here today that are still like the leper. Lord, I pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would challenge us, that you would change us. Today would be a day where we can sing praises to our God because you are the God who heals. Lord, I ask that you calm our hearts. If there's anything that would hinder us from hearing your word, even now, Father, any bitterness or anything, Lord, that you would cause us, Father, bring us to a place where we would ask for forgiveness that we might hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, Jesus is our faithful and sacrificial high priest. Isn't that a great thing? How many are glad that God's our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. That has significant importance to the thing I just said. He understands our failures. How many have failed Jesus? How many have sinned against Jesus? Against the Lord? Okay, we have failed him. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, our failures, and he's given us a very mighty charge to follow. If you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm just going to start with this verse this morning. Hebrews 4, verse 16. A great passage for a believer. And that word says, let us therefore come boldly. Let me back up here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay, we have a high priest in heaven, the believer does, who represents you before God. That is if you're without Christ, boy, you need an advocate. You need somebody that's there as a high priest that will talk to God on your behalf. And what does it say? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of what?
Grace.
Of grace. Notice that. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So if I approach as a believer in Jesus Christ, the throne of grace, what will I receive from him? Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Okay? Now what do you think of that invitation? Anybody? What do you think of such an invitation? Any thoughts? What comes to your mind? What's that?
Irresistible.
What else? Gratitude. There you go. What else? He's all forgiving. All right. That's important that we see this as we go into our passage, because there's many times when I am in need of God's mercy. I woke up this morning today needing his mercy. That's why he renews it every morning, by the way, because I need his mercy. I didn't need his mercy just when I got saved. I need his mercy every minute. I need his grace all the time. And so I'm in desperate need of that. I praise God that I can go boldly to his throne and get exactly what I need. And you should praise him too. Because I'm given an invitation, you're given an invitation to come to his throne anytime, anywhere, for any situation to receive grace and mercy from him. You can go to him go to him at any time of your day, life, and you will get grace and mercy from him. Now, it's open to all those who are in Christ Jesus. All. Now, let's go to Mark's account, Mark chapter 1. This is Mark's account, and then we'll look at Luke's account. Mark 1, verse 40. Mark 1, 40. I like Mark's account because it talks about this account with the leper in a little bit more detail, which we'll come back and look at this in a little bit. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing the things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Okay, let's go to Luke's account. That would be Luke chapter 5. Go to Luke chapter 5. Let's go to verse 12. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy. You'll notice that Luke says he didn't just have leprosy, he was full of it. He saw Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So there's the three accounts in the three Gospels that talk about this man who has leprosy. Now, this morning, looking at this passage, it's going to remind us that Jesus is alive, active, he's powerful, and he will meet every need brought to him, and that he is very willing to meet those needs if we will come to him in faith. So as I was getting ready for this week, I'm looking at this passage in Matthew, and I'm going, "Lord, how am I going to preach this? I don't just want to talk about healing. Lord, can you just show me some things in this?" And so, excuse me, I still have insulation in my throat. But I got to thinking about this passage, and here is this man of leprosy, and he is deliberately put there before the foundations of the earth. This was planned for him to be there, much like the beggar with Peter and John when they entered into the temple after Pentecost. All these are by design to bring glory to the Lord. If you look at John chapter 20, John says all these miracles were done so that we would believe in Jesus Christ. So this man isn't here by accident. Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and he's coming down the mountain with multitudes of people. Here's this leper. Why would he do that? Why? God doesn't do anything by accident. So he deliberately placed this miracle after the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, he had taught us a true understanding of the intent of God's commandments. They say this, but I meant this. They said that, but I meant this. This is what I meant. This is what I said. And so he taught us that the commandments reveal that all of us, if we went back and looked at this, how many we realize we failed God. How many of us have failed him? I started asking that. How many have sinned against him? He taught us the dangers of hypocrisy of good deeds. Don't be a hypocrite when you do things as, you know, give. Don't let your right hand show your left hand what you're doing, those kind of things. When you pray, don't be a hypocrite. Go into the closet and pray. Pray by yourself. Don't pray in public like a hypocrite would do, and that to be noticed by men. He taught us the dangers of hypocrisy in our religious devotion to Him. When you fast, don't do it so people can see it. Do it so God sees it. And so all those are back here in the Sermon on the Mount. He even revealed that this hypocrisy exists in every one of us at times. No matter how holy we might seem in the eyes of others, people, we have failed. Amen? All of us, you know, we go back, he says, to the point that we judge others unrighteously sometimes. Remember, he said, before you judge, take the plank out of your own eye. Sometimes we judge people unrighteously without examining our own life before God. He warns that we are fools if we hear what he says and we don't do what he says. How many of us have done that? Some at one time, even maybe this week, we hear what God's word says, but we don't do it. Who's done that? And so here's the Holy Spirit leading Matthew to record this account to show us that the one who preached this Sermon on the Mount is a merciful Savior to those who feel the condemnation of their sin. And so, for those who would come to Him and ask for mercy or help and grace in the time of need, God is willing to give it. And that's why this miracle is right off the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now notice our text here. Matthew tells us that when He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. There's a mass of people. There was 5,000 plus when He was feeding, when He fed the 5,000. These weren't small crowds that would gather around Jesus. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people here. And notice, great multitudes followed Him. That's the way Matthew describes this huge amount of people. Now, when I was thinking about that, okay, great multitudes. What would it have been like for Jesus to be teaching in great multitudes? Probably, He's in the center of this crowd. And people are pushing against Him. You ever been in a crowd where you're just being pushed? You can't move? I could just see Jesus trying to walk down this road. People crying, Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, help me. And the masses are just pushing in against Him. And then here comes a leper. This is like parting the Red Sea. Can you see this? The leper walking into a crowd of people. They're like, no way, get away from Him. Right? Okay, because no one wanted to be around this leper. I'm thinking as I'm saying, okay, well, Lord, what would this be like? What did leprosy do to a person? Well, let's go back to the law, Leviticus. Let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13, you'll see it on the screen there. Leviticus 13. Now, as I go through this, I'm going to compare leprosy to sin. Because it's no mistake that all of a sudden there's a leper that God deals with after the Sermon on the Mount. Because it's really, leprosy is a picture of our sinful nature. Now notice what it says here about a leper. Leviticus 13, let's go to verse 44. Matter of fact, let me back up to 43. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head, or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is what? Unclean. Remember that. Okay? He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So here you have a leper that wherever he has to go, wherever he walks, he has to say to you, like if I was a leper and I'm walking towards you 20, 30 feet away, unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, and I have to say this the rest of my life because I can't be around you. Now notice what it says here. It says, verse 46, he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell what? Alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So here's the thing that for the leper, not only is he unclean, not only does he have this command that he's supposed to tell people he's unclean. How would you like to have a disease and be forced by the law of the land to say, hey, don't come near me. I have this. Now he has to live alone. You know how lonely this man is? How lonely he is? Now let's look at 2 Kings 15. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 15. Now here's a king. Let's go to verse 5. Then the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. So he dwelt in an isolated house. Now how would you like to be told you can't live around people? Some of you would say, hey, that'd be great. That would absolutely be great, you know. But how would you like to not be allowed to, they put you outside the city of Rathdrum in a house that no one was allowed to go visit and you couldn't go anywhere. You can't go to the store. You can't see people. Your own family can't even be around you because you're a leper. Boy, what a lonely life. Let's go back to Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22. Let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me, for I am the Lord. Say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations who goes near the holy, listen to this, the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Now think of the leper. What is the leper? He's what?
Unclean.
He's unclean. Now this man only cannot just live by himself and he has this, I have to tell you I'm unclean wherever I go. He can't go to the temple of God because God says he's unclean. He has no access to God in the temple. Now, how would you feel like if we told you, you have a disease, you live outside the city, you can't come talk to people, you just stay by yourself, oh, and you can't come to church ever because God doesn't want anything unclean in this house. How would you feel? I was thinking about that this week. You know, fine, I don't have to go to church anyway. Some people think that. That would be devastating. This leper was truly a wretched man in his culture. He couldn't be around God. He's so defiled. Not by his own. It's just, that's how he's born. He's born, or he got this leprous disease. All right. Now I'll get a better picture of this man showing up in this crowd. Aren't you supposed to be home? What are you out here walking around for? You know, get away from us. We don't want anything to do with you. You can't even come to the Lord. I could hear his disciples going, what are you trying to get around Jesus for, you unclean man? Get away from him. All right. So then I was thinking, What leprosy is to the body, so sin is to the soul. We're just as bad as the leper. Our sin has separated us from God. And so, look what sin does. Let's go to John chapter 8. John 8. John 8. Verse 34. Jesus answered, in this conversation about the truth shall make you free. By the way, if Christ has forgiven your sin, you're free indeed. Matter of fact, let me back up here to verse 31. That Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What does sin do to you and me? It enslaves us. It makes us, a lot of people don't understand that, but if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior and you choose a life of just sin, and that you say, I don't need him. I don't need to walk with him. I don't need to follow him. Then you're a slave to sin. Oh, wow. Just as much as the leper was slave to the disease. He couldn't get rid of it on his own. See, sin does an incredible thing, just like leprosy did. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Remember, the leper couldn't even go into the temple? Well, what does sin do to us? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Oh my goodness, God can save anybody at any time, anywhere that comes to him. Nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's what sin does to us. Much like the leper who could not come to get to God, our sins have separated us from God. See where sin is much like leprosy? Sin is universal. What does Romans 3 say? What does Romans chapter 3, to be specific, verse 23 say? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every man, every woman, every child has been a sinner. Or some are still sinners. And the penalty of that is what? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. What would be the outcome of a leper? You know how leprosy works? Leprosy starts out as a skin disease, and it ends up going to the last organ leprosy destroys is the brain. Before that, every body parts begin to fall off. You're sitting there waving at somebody, and the finger goes, and the hands go, or your skin falls off. You lose your hair. No, I don't have leprosy. But what an awful way to die. What an awful way to die. The outcome of leprosy is death eventually. The outcome of sin is what? Death. And so sin makes us a wretched man, just much like the leper was. Much like the leper was. As bad as the leper had it, though, let us remember that without Christ, our condition is much worse. Much worse. See, the leper had heard of Jesus' power to heal. So he came to him, and notice in Mark chapter 1. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Let's talk about the leper's cry to God. Mark chapter 1. Notice how he cries out to be delivered from leprosy. You'll notice that his cry was earnest and desperate. Look at, you'll see the word, you'll see it say this. Now a leper came to him imploring him. That word imploring means to come to God in an earnest and desperate way. See, if the sinner doesn't recognize his desperate need for salvation, he doesn't even know he's getting saved from. Man needs to be saved. He needs his sin forgiven. We have to come to God in a desperate way, earnest way. Lord, please. Notice his reverence for Jesus, where it says, kneeling down to him. Notice that. Here is a leper that recognized, that was imploring him to heal him, but he recognized Jesus for who he was. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who can heal me. He's God. He can do this. And notice how he came to him. He came to him humble and submissive. Notice you'll see that in these words. He's kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing. The humility there. He doesn't come to Jesus and say, I demand that you do this. You have to do this. I've made you Lord. You got to do this. He comes, if you are willing. Comes to him in humility. And notice he believes because he says this. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That the words you can, exercising faith. Lord, you can do this. You can do this. And notice he acknowledges his need. Make me clean. Make me clean. Because in all that we just read right there, only one had the authority to remove this leper's disease. Only one had the authority. Remember we talked last week, he taught as it was one who had authority. And God puts that authority right to work as he comes down off the Sermon on the Mount. Who has authority over leprosy to get rid of disease? Jesus does. Who has authority over sin to get rid of it? Jesus does. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark 2. Since we're right there. Verses 1 through 12. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but who? But God alone. Now this is amazing because this is all to show that he has that authority. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power, or another word for there is authority, on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So who has the power to cleanse the leper? Jesus. Who has the power to forgive sin? Jesus. Okay? Now, notice how the leper, let's go back to Mark 1. Notice how the leper's cleansing came about. All right? First of all, verse 41. Then Jesus moved with what? Compassion. The reason you and I, the reason the leper was healed is because Jesus had compassion on him. Mercy. He gave him grace. Listen, the reason you and I are forgiven is because of the very same thing. Because God poured compassion out on you. And it shows up in love. Let me take you to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. All right, now what does that tell us in 1 John? Well, 1 John 4. Let's look at verses 9 or 7. Let's start in 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards who? Us. He's, again, this is a believer talking here. All right? This is a believer. This is for believers. In the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Did Jesus have compassion on you? Yes. Where does that compassion show up? He sent, or he came, what? To be the propitiation for our sins, or the payment for our sins, the mercy seat for our sins. So, just much like the leper is, the motivating factor for his healing was compassion, the same way is for your salvation. All right? Now, notice something else here in Mark chapter 1. This man had probably never felt this in his life. Maybe, maybe not. All right? But notice this. Then Jesus, verse 41, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and what?
Touched him.
Can you imagine this man who can't be around people for the first time, maybe in his life, somebody touched me. Somebody showed love towards him. And he touched him. Can you see the crowd? He's yelling unclean. No Jew's supposed to touch anything unclean. And Jesus says, what does he do? He reaches out and touches him. I can just see the crowd going, whoa, whoa. Now Jesus is unclean. Now Jesus is unclean. No, he's not. No, he's not. As soon as the Lord spoke, I am willing, be cleansed. He was what? Cleansed. You know, as sinners, when we believed on Jesus Christ, we were cleansed also. His blood cleansed us from our sin. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because Jesus had compassion on us, because he reached out in a sense and touched us, even when we were defiled, even when we shouldn't have been able to be around him, he reached out and he did what? He gave his life for us. He touched us in a sense. In him we have, what do you have today because of that? Redemption. What does redemption mean? You've been redeemed. You've been bought back. Now notice this. All right? Through his what? Blood. Blood is a cleansing agent. You know that? See, when his blood did an incredible thing to us. It removed sin. It removed the disease of sin. Listen, when the leper was cleansed, he didn't walk away going, "Well, you know what? My right arm's healed. There's still some spots on my left arm. And oh, my foot still feels like it's going to fall off." You know? So I guess Jesus partially healed me. Right? See, when Jesus touches a person, he healed them all. Completely. Not partially healed. Let me tell you something. When the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, it means exactly that. All unrighteousness. All. Listen to me. You're not partially forgiven. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, I forgive all your sins, oh, except that one thing you're still doing. That one thing that's still hanging out there." Listen, if that's true, his blood is not sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have been forgiven, washed as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's important that you see that. That doesn't give you a license to go live a life of sin. That should break your heart that your flesh would even want to do such a thing. But listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, he says it right here. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his what? What? It doesn't say according to the works that you do. According to the riches of his grace. He's forgiven you because it's about him. Not about you. Oh, this is important to see. Let me show you another one. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Good stuff. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me get there. Okay. 1 Peter 1. Let's go to verse 17. "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot," "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now I got to look into that verse. What a fitting verse when you talk about leprosy. Here's Jesus who was sacrificed, and our sacrifice was without blemish and without spot. Wow. I come to Jesus and I'm full of spots and I'm full of blemishes. And I'm coming to him like the leper and saying, "Lord Jesus, heal me, forgive me." As a sinner, I'm approaching a God. I don't even deserve the right to be in his presence. Gives his blood being shed for us. What? Without spot, without blemish. I got looking at these two things. I said, "You know what, God? This amazing thing that you've done. Because now, how do you see me? As a believer, without spot and without blemish." His sacrifice that was given, Jesus given for us. How does the Father see you? Because of Jesus being without spot, without blemish. How does he see you now? Without spot and without blemish. There is no leprosy on us anymore. Do you see that? Man, we should walk in victory over that. When God sees me, I'm without spot. Could you just picture going to Jesus and say, "There's nowhere else to go. If you don't take care of this leprosy, what am I going to do?" And all of a sudden, he says, I said, "Lord, are you willing?" It'd be like going to the Lord and say, "Are you willing to save me?" "I'm willing." "Be saved." "Thank you, Jesus. We should walk away like that leper. He says, now don't tell anybody I saved you. Right? Yeah, right. Huh? I'm going to go tell everybody. There's a reason he had to still do the things that Moses had commanded in the law, because when Jesus did this, they're all still under the law. Jesus was ministering while they were under the law. If you were to look at the Gospels, those, even though they were written later, they were written talking about the time when they were under the law. Jesus hadn't died yet. All these things, Jesus, he put himself under that law to fulfill that law. Anyway, so the guy had to go offer the sacrifice. What? To prove what? Did you catch that? Mark chapter 1, why was he supposed to be a testimony to what had happened? Well, I want you to see that this morning. That can be said, just as the leper received his cleansing from believing on Christ, so do we when we believe on Christ. We're also cleansed, just like the leper. Now here's just a few more thoughts here. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. And I think as you're looking at this leper there, I think the Lord is giving us a visual of the first Beatitudes he was teaching. Okay, it's like, okay, I taught you this. Now I want you to see how this works. So here we go in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You think the leper was poor in spirit? He's got nothing to offer God. I'm lost. There's no hope for me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You think he was mourning? Think he was grieving? Absolutely. But what does God do? What does God do? He comforts him. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Was he meek? He didn't come to the Lord presumptuously, but he came worshiping God. He didn't come demanding from him, but he let it be if the Savior wills, he would do this. Let me leave you with one more verse, Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Here you have the account of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It says also he spoke this parable, verse 9. To some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, how many of us have ever done that before? Lord, I thank you that I have everything all together. And I thank you that, Lord, I'm not in need of your forgiveness. The other people are. Thank you that I'm okay. I thank you that I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm religious. I do these things for you. Thank you, Lord, that I am better than that person. How many of us ever prayed like that? I bet that crowd that day coming down off the Sermon on the Mount down that road was full of those kind of people. Thank you that I'm not a leper. Thank you that I'm not like him. Look, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How many of us need God's mercy this morning? I do. And I need it so bad that he renews it every morning. Lamentations tells us. Oh my goodness. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to be like the leper. Lord, I need you. Amen? Father, thank you for your word this day, Lord. So much more could be said on this, Father. I thank you for the things that you have shown me, Lord, that much like the leper, Father, we were full of spots and disease, but your blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we should be so joyful, much like this man with leprosy, that we run around telling everybody what you've done for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, if there's people in this congregation today that still are in their sin, have not believed upon you, and the condemnation of you still sits on them, and the wrath of you still awaits them, Father, they're still leprous, full of leprosy, still have open sores, disgusting, vile sin in their life. And Lord, they need to be washed and they need to be cleansed. Father, if there's a person like that, even in our congregation today, I pray, Lord, today would be the day that they want to be made clean. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd move upon their heart. Lord, if Lord Jesus, we've gotten our feet dirty through this life to where we also need to be washed. Lord, I pray today would be the day we just confess things before you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.